There's a good reason why people don't like to move very often. In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about our moving day disasters. That's right, disasters, plural. Plus, I'll give you an update on the success of Believe You Can.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Well, hello there, and welcome to episode 96 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for the first episode from Studio B. Now, let me tell you, Studio B is not done, but it's done enough for me to record in here today. I was unable to record last week, and I apologize if you were looking for an episode last week. I'm going to use the same topic, as it were. Or as it was, I guess I should say. And you can tell that my throat is a little funny, so I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I believe it's allergies, but it could be a cold, and who knows, it could be COVID. We were running around and interacting with a bunch of people, and I'll get into that in a couple of minutes. Before I get into that, I do want to talk about two things. First thing, a little brief update on fantasy football, which we're all excited about in the all-blind fantasy football league. I was on a two-game winning streak until this past week where I made a mistake and pulled out a wide receiver. His name was T. Higgins from the Cincinnati Bengals. Should have left him in. And I played Jerry Jeudy from the Denver Broncos instead. Jerry Jeudy got 5 points and change, and T. Higgins got 18 points and change. That difference of 13 points would have been the difference of me winning instead of losing. So instead, I'm 2 wins, 4 losses, and I'm playing one of the top players of the league, the one who is from Verizon Media, Kasaya. And we just found out last night that there is some more money coming our way if we do a little video. So I'm going to be doing that video. And our payouts, which is just sounds crazy to me, even if I finish dead last, I'm still going to get quite a chunk of change, somewhere well north of $700. So very exciting. And it actually is a lot of fun this year. So and we've been going back and forth within the league, on the message board there, as well as Kasaya each week when she sends a questionnaire that we have to fill out. She kind of talks about playing, and it's been great to have her in. So I hope next year, whether she pays us, and I don't think she will next year, but or not, it's just been fun to have her in the league this year. So it's just been fun, even though every 5 seconds my phone is going off with another one of my players injured. So we'll see how it continues for the rest of the way. As I said, in an unfinished Studio B, and so it may sound a little echoey. I've got really nothing more than a hard floor in here, and the walls are painted and things like that, but haven't moved everything, taken coverings off of furniture and stuff like that. They should wrap up. You know, it's been today, should be done today, but maybe tomorrow. So, and I really feel bad for Tom, who is the contractor, because he was having some major issues today, and he just, everything that he was trying, just, I heard him at one point, he hit something, and he sounded like a cartoon character, the way he reacted to it, he's like, and then he mentioned something about the basement, and you know, it's just been rough. And it's, you know, he told me after all that had happened, he said that he thought he was going to be able to sub a lot of the work out, but everybody was so busy, he ended up doing a lot of it on his own. And I think that's the reason for the delay. But we're almost there. We're in the home stretch, just some cleaning and outlet covers and things like that. And we should be good to go. Again, hopefully tomorrow, we'll see. But the other thing I wanted to talk about before I get into our moving day disaster is Believe You Can. And the last episode I did before we moved was when I had Harriet and Lisa on for the Believe You Can talent show, which was presented by the Keystone chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. And it was just such a success. I just can't begin to tell you. You know, we practiced a few times, and it was very difficult for me because besides moving, I was trying to find vendors to do things to the condo so we can put it on the market. We were trying to, you know, take care of things here. And I'll get it more into the moving once I talk, you know, get into the meat of the show. But there was just all sorts of stuff going on. And initially, Lisa and I were going to be the main two hosts, but there was no way. I didn't have my computer set up until late in the day on Friday, and that was at our kitchen table, just so I could respond and send the link out to the people who had paid for tickets. So I set it up, and I got a lot of the links out. Now, Harriet had sent links to the people that I had already thanked for buying a ticket. So if you got two emails from us, one from me and then one from Harriet, that's the reasoning why. If you only got one email from me, that was because I was the one handling that for the most part. But it was just, everything was just such up in the air during this whole time. And to not have access to my computer, and I'm not, even though I'm comfortable doing it on the phone, technically, I don't like to send a business email that should be a fairly formal thing to someone without being able to go back paragraph by paragraph. And with VoiceOver on my phone, I just wasn't confident that there might not be a typo or the wrong there or something that I may miss not hearing it properly. So that was the reason that I waited to send some of the thank yous out, because I didn't want to do it on my phone. And we ended up selling, and I meant to look before I hit the record button. I want to say we sold between 55 and 60 tickets, which was just outstanding. And we raised quite a bit of money, which was great. And the best part of the whole thing were the performers. Now, some of them were professional. There was one or two folks that play and get paid to, you know, one guy, in fact, the guy that closed the show actually has put out a few albums. But some of the people were just so outstanding. And I know that later on down the line, we will hear from them again in a greater capacity, in a greater role. They'll have an album out. There were three siblings from British Columbia that all were just outstanding. And we didn't get, as hosts, and just to go back to that for a second. So what I did, I basically was the announcer. I was the guy that says, you know, welcome and please, here's your host. And, you know, thanks for buying your ticket and supporting us and so forth and so on. I would chime in every once in a while otherwise, but for the most part, Harriet and Lisa covered that. And we did practice a few times, so it did come off pretty well. You know, there were some technical issues here and there. And, you know, when you're dealing with Zoom, which is how we did it, you know, and people from all around North America, you know, besides the folks from British Columbia, there was someone in Portland, in Oregon, and in Denver. One of the guys that won, his name was Desmond. He was from Baltimore. And I was really hoping that he would win something, because earlier in the day, he actually paid for a ticket, and we weren't sure that if he thought he had to, or he just did it because he wanted to support us, and that was why he wanted to support us. In fact, he donated his winnings back to the chapter, which was just awesome. I mean, he was just such a great guy, and obviously he could play the saxophone and came in second. But just so many great performers with spoken word and singing, and as I said, there were three folks from British Columbia, and I want to say her name was Jocelyn, the last of the three to go, and I apologize that I don't remember the guy's name, the brother, I don't remember his name. He did a song that was from a camp that they went to as kids, which was hysterical. He was good. And then his sister came on, and I think her name was Jessica. She did an original song. Now, her genre of song was more to my taste than Jocelyn. And again, I'm pretty sure that was the last person's name. But Jocelyn's song, I just thought was better, even though it wasn't this, you know, sounding a little on the alt side of things, to me at least. But Jocelyn, I would have voted for Jocelyn. And again, I believe it's her name, and it was the last one of the three Canadian siblings that had gone. But everybody was just so good, and I, you know, we were texting back and forth while the performers were on, and, you know, at one point I had texted Harriet. I said, "How did we get so many great performers to do this event? I mean, it was just outstanding." And what a great success it was. So we were very happy with, and we put in a lot of time. I mean, we really put in a lot of hard work with this. So Harriet and Lisa did a great job hosting, and it just went off. We were just so happy. And coming up, and I hope I put it in my calendar because I don't remember the date. We're having a, along with Joe and Marcia. Joe and Marcia did the technical side of things. Joe ran Zoom and did the polling to so we could pick the winners. And Marcia helped out and got some other things on that end. So that it just worked out well. And we're gonna do a recap with all of us in the next week or so. I just don't remember what day. I think it's Monday coming up as I'm recording this on the 21st of October. And it was around 40 years ago as I'm recording this that the Phillies won their first World Series, and I was there. So, you know, I woke up this morning and I realized it was the 21st, and I thought, oh, today's the day. And I was there with my dad and my dad's friend Mel. And I was there, my friend John Ganella, I brought with me. And it was awesome. And I recorded it at home, you know, on a VCR. You know, that's a thing that has a tape in it. You might remember those. And what was cool was my dad always, he would never wear a coat. So when we went to that, he had this thick sweater and it was like a cream color. So, you know, it was a chilly night, obviously, you know, getting towards the end of October, I had a winter coat on. I'm sure my friend John did. Mel probably did as well. But there's my dad in this sea of either red for Philly stuff or, you know, dark winter coats. You see my dad's sweater just stand out. So every time they had a shot from behind home plate, our tickets were in section 232, row 23. You could see us. You could see it. Well, I mean, you couldn't make it out. And I'm sure the quality now compared to, or then compared to now is. So this episode is the Phillies World Champs episode. And it was, they were the last of the original Major League teams to win the World Series. And they've only won one since. So that tells you how frequently that happens. But that was 40 years ago. As I am recording this, we're probably somewhere around, it's a little after 10. It's probably around over by now. I don't remember what time it ended. But what a great night that was. Just a lot of fun. And I haven't spoken to my friend John Ganella in probably decades. So I hope he is doing well. And but this is the Phillies World Champs episode. Even though it has nothing to do with 96, it's just the day I'm recording it. So that's what we're going with. So let's get into the move. Now, as I mentioned a little earlier, besides all the stuff going on with Believe You Can and moving, we also have to get the condo ready. We have two houses. We have this one that we live in, which is still in, you know, pretty close to chaos. It's getting there a little bit by day by day. Then we have the condo that when we bought it, we knew we were going to have to fix it up. We knew. But we were okay with that because we got it for a great price at the time. We were happy with it. And we thought, okay, once Jane is done school and she's out, we can start to redo. We'll do the bathrooms and the kitchen and we'll be good. You know, everything else was okay. We were okay with it. And we figured when we do move, and again, that was not, it was our final stop up here, but we knew it was only going to be, you know, 7 years or so, give or take. Now we've only been there 4 years and here we are now, in a different place. So we knew that had to be done. So we knew when we decided we were going to buy this house, that we were going to have to do some work to the condo. And we were prepared for that because, you know, we knew going in. So we're doing all these things, trying to get everything set up to move, trying to get everything ready here. And again, we had settled on this house in the middle of September, and we were told by the contractor, probably 2 weeks, maybe a few days past 2 weeks. But all sorts of things, as I've mentioned, have come up. You know, he got his delivery of drywall at the end of the day on a Monday as opposed to the beginning of the day on a Monday. So instead of getting it all cut up and brought into the basement, he had to wrap it in a tarp because there was, you know, rainy weather coming, and it rained for the next 3 days. So that set him back, where there wasn't much going on for those 3 days. And just other things over the last 6 weeks or so. Again, as I'm recording this, on the 21st of October, he started on the 16th of September. And, you know, again, we were told 2 weeks to maybe 17 or 18 days. And so when we figured we were going to move, we had planned on being able to completely move in, meaning we were going to move in. Jacob was going to have his own bedroom in the basement near Studio B, and everything would get done. We didn't have a lot of time because Jane was not taking any time off, and Liz wasn't taking any time off. Now, Liz had off because of Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, or, hey, everybody gets off on the second Monday in October. You make up the name of the holiday you want. I don't want to get political. It was that day, the 12th of October. Liz had off that day because of the holiday. That's why we picked it to move on the 10th. But Jane's office had to be set up and ready to go. She worked at the condo on Friday, the 9th, and then from the office here, not my office, her office, which is technically the third bedroom, but it, honest to God, it can be nothing more than a room for an infant, you know, with a crib and, you know, maybe one set of, one bureau or, you know, a changing station and a bureau. It's just so tiny. It's so small. So that was the first thing we got done. Once we moved in, we set up Jane's bedroom and our bedroom just to have the beds, because we ended up, all of us, as I mentioned last time, needed new beds. So we all got new beds. Jacob's we didn't set up because his room wasn't ready, and we weren't going to, you know, set it up while all sorts of stuff was going on. So for the first night, for the 10th, he slept in the condo, and he was kind of bummed out about that. And I was sad that he, you know, we all couldn't come here that night. And we were all tired. We were so tired that day. That day, I think I walked 23,000 steps or so. I don't remember the exact number. For that whole weekend, starting on the 9th or the 8th, from the 8th to like the 12th or 13th, the smallest amount of steps I walked was like 11,000 something. One day was 18,000. Like I said, the one was 23,000. There were a couple 12,000s. And then there was another, I want to say 13 or 14,000. So it was just a whole lot of running back and forth and trying to get this stuff out, because on Monday, the 12th, the painter was supposed to go to the condo to paint it and get it ready. Now, we kind of caught a reprieve because he was not coming until, I found out late on Sunday, he wasn't coming until Tuesday. So that gave us a little bit of a reprieve. And at that point, we figured, you know, we have to rent a storage unit because we don't have any storage in our basement. Without using and figuring the basement into our plans, the house here is about the same size as the condo, actually a little bit smaller and with a lot less closet space. So again, the difference is the basement. You know, there is probably another 500 or 600 square feet when you figure the basement in. And, you know, in the basement, besides Studio B and Jacob's room, there's a laundry room where there's storage. And there's a nice closet, probably not too much smaller than Studio C at the other place. And and I did post a picture of Studio C if you want to see it on Instagram at David Benj, like on all the socials. You can take a look there before and after, because I took a picture a few weeks ago right after I recorded the last episode. I took a picture of it, and then once it was broken down and painted and back into full closet mode, I took another picture, and people couldn't believe it. Again, it was basically 5 feet by 4 feet, 10 or something like that. So without being able to put stuff down here, you know, we have stuff upstairs in our kitchen blocking a lot of things. We have stuff in our bedroom, and we have stuff at a storage place because we just don't have enough room until we can use the storage here. And let's face it, you know, the other thing is we just have too much stuff. And we got rid of a lot of stuff too. We didn't not get rid of anything. So we're running all around doing that. But Saturday started off, we got up early and we're all set to go. And again, it wasn't like when we moved in to the condo from the house, because that all happened on the same day. We sold the one, moved into the other. It had to be out of the one because it wasn't ours anymore. So our neighbors, Mike and Lisa, had their driveway full of our stuff, and then it ended up in their garage for a little bit. And that's how we had to do it. There's stuff at Liz's mother's house, which, you know, some of it is still there. Mostly, you know, business documents, things that we can't get rid of, and stuff like that. So Saturday, we're up early, we're getting ready. I come over to the house with Liz because the Verizon guy is coming. And this was very interesting, I thought. And you know, most of the day doesn't have anything to do with me not being able to see. But the Verizon guy, when he was there, you know, we were talking for a little bit, and we were talking about the new voice command remote, which I absolutely love, by the way. Even when I can't remember the name of the channel, or I say, for example, HGTV, it doesn't recognize that, for example, for some reason, but I just say channel 665. Boom, it puts it on, or DVR, and, you know, I don't have to fumble for buttons. And again, that sometimes is very difficult for me. Like, you know, over the last couple of weeks, my hands have been horrible. I mean, my left hand today, in the last couple of days, you know, just picking up a bottle of water or picking up a cup or something. I when I was making lunch today, I was grabbing for the Pam out of the cabinet to spray the frying pan, and I dropped it because it just hurts so much. And I just have such little feelings in some of my fingers. And you know, and I don't know why, if I have such little feeling, why it still hurts. I don't get it. So I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. That will be next week's episode, because I am going in an Uber. I'm going on my own. So I'm a little concerned with, you know, all that goes on. We did a dry run today, but I'll talk about that next week. So I'm talking back and forth with the Verizon guy as he's setting it up. And like anybody else, he wants it to be as easy as can be. So, you know, I asked him, well, can we put the unit over here? Can we put it over there? He says, well, it comes in right here, which is in our living room. It comes in right here, and here's an outlet right here. Well, at one point, we shut a switch off, you know, that also controls the light in the room, and it shut the Verizon equipment down. And he said, oh, you just got to leave that light on. I said, well, we can't leave the light on. And fortunately, there's another switch. It's part of a ceiling fan, so we can, you know, reach up and pull the chain to shut the light off. But I said, can't we put it on, can't we move that somewhere else? Either put it in the basement or put it over there. And there was another outlet in the living room that, you know, I thought we could put the equipment. He said, no, it's got to go here. Again, it has to go there because that's where it's easiest for you. It doesn't matter that I'm paying either $99 or $199 for you to put that in. So it goes there. So I'm a little annoyed at that. But when he left, he didn't talk to me about the password and the information on where you can change the name of the network. And I always change the name at the condo. The name of the condominium was called Briarcliff. So that was Briarcliff Bistro. And back in media, it was Cafe 129, and I think I've told that story from when the kids were little. We haven't really settled on a name yet for here. Obviously, we'll have something to do with food and, you know, where we are. But, you know, once I have a new once I have a new intro done, and I'm going to use the same girl that did the one you heard at the beginning of this one, I will. You know, we'll have something. We'll have something set up. But so he showed the kids who happened to come over because he needed a TV to set up the other box, which is wireless. And he showed the kids, but he didn't know how to interact with me. You know, he could have said, "Hey, come on over here," and, you know, blah blah blah. But he said, "Yeah, here's where it is," and he said, "See this, see this, see this," and he just, you know, and he did that, and then he left. He wouldn't take the old equipment. He said, no, you got to send those back at the UPS store, which we did today. And it's, you know, they've already confirmed that they quote unquote have it, even though it's probably still sitting at the UPS store in media. So I was a little, I don't know. I just felt weird after that. So then Jane had walked back. Jacob had walked back before that. Jane walked back to the condo because in the middle of while I'm dealing with the Verizon guy, I got a call from the guy who is the vice president of the condo board and who I took over as president from. He said, they're using both elevators. I said, all right, you know, just tell them to use the one if they haven't already. And I'll be home, you know, once I told him I was at the house and, you know, I was, you know, with the Verizon guy. So I get back there. Here's where it's crazy. I get back there and I walk into, there's two lobbies in the front of our building. There's an outer lobby and an inner lobby. Anybody can walk into the outer lobby. Anybody can walk in there. That's where you walk in. There's a couch. There's a couple of lamps. And there's a listing of everybody that lives there. So it corresponds to a two-digit number that you go to the phone and you dial the phone. So it rings. So, you know, if you're on the fourth floor, you know, Mary can buzz you in so she doesn't have to come down and let you in. When anybody comes to visit us there, you know, they would text me or call me on my mobile. And then I'd walk down the hallway because we were on the first floor and down a couple of steps and, you know, just grab the door and hold the door open. Obviously, nobody's visiting during COVID other than, you know, contractors and vendors and things like that. So I walk in the door and I see the super coming out of the mailroom and I say hello to him and I see a guy and I'm thinking, man, that guy looks like he could be a mover. Why is he out here? Can't bring stuff out here. And I just kind of say hi to him just as I'm passing him. And then I walk in, you know, Gary opens the door. I was getting my key out and he said, I got it. And he opens the door and I walk in. I walk up. There's four steps that get you to the first floor from the lobby. And I make the left, which is right where the elevators are. And I see all this furniture along the hallway. And one of the things I see there is one of our couches from the living room. Now, the couches that we have, all of them are from my parents. One of them we've had since my mom moved from the independent living at Maris Grove to the assisted living. It's a love seat, and I always loved it. I always sat in it when I would talk with my dad, and it's not that old. I think they got it when they moved into their place at Maris, so in 2006 or so. The other two, one is a couch, one is a love seat, but they're white. So I turn the corner and I see our stuff and then I see our couch or love seat, I'm not sure which one it was, on its back, sitting on the hallway floor. It's not wrapped in anything. I'm like, are you kidding? You know, I then see somebody walk by it and, you know, they've got their hand on it, touching it. You know, gross during any time, but during a time when there's a pandemic, I don't want people touching it. They said everything was going to be wrapped. And so I got to the apartment. I said to Liz, what's going on? I said, why aren't the couches wrapped? And I call. And I call, and the girl says, we use two men in a truck, by the way. The girl said to me, oh, he's on another call right now, the operations manager. He'll give you a call back. Of course, he never called back. And then I go down, and I thought, well, you know, if they're doing all those crazy things wrong, meaning not wrapping the stuff and trying to use both elevators and so forth and so on. And I later found out one of the guys didn't have a mask on. I couldn't tell, obviously, but I found that out later. And again, you know, I don't care what your political feelings are. I wear a mask when I go out. I expect you to as well if you want to interact with me. And I, you know, and unfortunately I didn't know or I would have told him to wear it. So I get downstairs and I see the door is propped open. Also can't happen because the building is secure, you know, with, you know, the buzzing in and, you know, key, you need a key to get in. We don't want anybody just walking in. And, you know, there's probably half of the units are, you know, older folks retired and, you know, the other half, another quarter of them are, you know, people, you know, downsizing. So they may be, you know, my age, so also old. But not that old. And then you have some folks that are, you know, just looking for, again, it was a very cheap place to live at, for what you got. And, you know, everything's included in the condo fee other than your cable and internet and phone. So, you know, it was, you know, you just can't beat it for that. And again, had COVID not happened, we'd still be there and I'd be talking to you from the closet, or maybe by now I would have converted Jane's room into an office. So I see that and, you know, I'm getting irritated. But then I go downstairs and, you know, I take the trash can away that had the door propped open. And the guy comes up to me, the one guy who wasn't wearing the mask, said to me, "Are you going to hold the door open?" And I said, "I sure am." I said, "It can't be left open. Somebody from the board called me and said that that was going on." I mean, and it is true. I'm on the board and I saw that it was happening. It just can't happen. So as I'm there, and I got there a little after 12 or right around 12 noon, and I'm there for about 40 minutes as they're loading up. And I look out into the parking lot and I see, I'm not sure which couch it was or the love seat. It was the one of the white ones. I wasn't sure if it was the same one I saw in the hallway earlier or, but I see it on its side on the parking lot. Again, not on anything, just sitting there in the parking lot on its side. And again, I'm a little grossed out by it. Don't know what's on it at this point. And then I'm standing there holding the door, and the guy is bringing, he brings out a couple of cushions. Like, he's been gone for like 10 minutes. He comes out with two cushions for the couch. And I'm thinking, okay, this guy's taking forever. What's going on? And then they bring out something else, and they put something else on the truck. And then he comes out of the elevator, and he said, "All right, I need your help with this one," talking to the other guy. And it was two men and a truck. That's what we got, two men and a truck. Both the name of the place that we dealt with and the actual items that arrived. Two men in a truck. And I look into the elevator and I see, again, not sure if it was the couch or the love seat, it was the white, whatever. And it's on its arm, like sideways, on its arm, resting on the floor, sitting on the floor. Again, of this elevator where we had talked a couple of weeks ago during a meeting with a couple of the folks on the board and the property manager, how someone used to spit on the floor in there and spit on the buttons, and how people throw up in the hall and on the elevator, and how other people have other bodily functions either on the floor or in the elevator. So again, I don't know what that's sitting in. And again, I was so grossed out by it. I was so mad how long they were taking and how little was getting done. And, you know, so now I'm wondering, you know, what are we going to do with these couches, you know, with all this going on? And so we get them into the, you know, they move them. And I mean, again, it wasn't a long move. It was a third of a mile. We measured it. I've walked it quite a few times. And while I've never actually done a stopwatch, it takes around 9 minutes and change, not quite 10 minutes. So they come in and I get a little better feeling as they unload because they're going a little bit faster. And they did, my bureau and Liz's bureau are old. I got them when I moved into a townhouse in Brookhaven back in 1989. They are metal and glass and wood, and they are very heavy, and our stairs from the main level to the upper level of our house are narrow and steep. And the one guy was almost like he was coaching the other guy. "Come on, you can do it. Come on, come on, push, push, push." And it was hysterical how one of them I thought was going to drop dead. But they didn't. They survived. And so, you know, there's always dings and things like that. But we were just so grossed out by the couches being on the floor in the in the hallway of the building and people touching them. And again, I was only there for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes when I saw that, you know, the person touch it and rub their hand on it. And again, oh, and then I saw it. I did also see the one that was on the parking lot on its side, I noticed was on the truck on its side. And again, I don't know what goes on in that truck. I don't know what spilled or whatever went on there. But, you know, again, it's on our couch now, probably. We did Lysol them down like you wouldn't believe. But, you know, so when I called on Monday to complain again, I got a different girl who said, "Oh, yeah, the operations manager will call you back." I said, "Here's my number. Here's my name." Never got a call. They called Liz within an hour or so of me calling, and Liz said to them, look, you know, my husband, this was my husband's thing. You got to call him. They never called me. And I was going to fight the charge for the entire amount. And I thought, you know, before I do that, it's not fair to do that. Let me call their corporate, you know, their franchises, or some sort of, you know, some sort of partnership like that. Let me call the main office. And I couldn't find a number, but I found them on Twitter and I just sent them a direct message. And, you know, they of course apologized and, you know, said, oh yeah, somebody will contact you. And I didn't really believe it. And I said that in my exchange, my DM exchange. But the next day somebody called me and she was the worst person they could have had to contact and reach out to someone. And again, I know I'm not easy to deal with. I know I have the Hernandez tone. I know I have it. But everybody that calls that has a problem with their movers are going to be like that. They're not going to be, oh, I understand you left my couch sitting all there on, you know, in that, you know, whatever was on the floor, whatever was in the driveway. I don't know if there's motor oil on the back of the couch. I don't know what's on there. You know, it's up against a wall now and, you know, it was soaked with Lysol, but I don't know what's on it now. And she, at one point I was going on and I stopped talking and there was dead silence for 10 or 15 seconds. And finally I said, oh, great. So she either hung up or we got disconnected. And again, nothing for another couple of seconds. And she said, no, I'm here. I was just letting you finish. I said, well, I'm done. And now it's your turn. And, you know, she was coming at me with this attitude. She finally said, all right, well, let me get all the information from the franchisee and they'll get back to you. They'll reach out, but you need to give me 2 business days. I said, okay, and this was Tuesday. So I said, okay, 2 days, so I'll hear from them on Thursday. No, it's the end of day today, right now. 2 business days, you give them until Friday. And I said, well, 2 business days from right now is Thursday at the end of day. I know it's the end of day, but it's still the part of the business day. I mean, it wasn't after hours that we were talking. So, and they did reach out and we did come to an agreement that, again, not thrilled with, but I didn't know what I really wanted from them because you can't undo it. It's already done. The couches are sitting in our living room. You know, they had offered Stanley Steamer and they had offered, you know, to knock off the extra hour, a half an hour that they were going to charge us. You know, which again, like I said, was just ridiculous because, as I mentioned, you know, guy standing in the outer lobby at one point. I don't know what he was doing out there. I don't know how long he was out there. You know, it was looked like a work slowdown to me. But we got it settled and I was, you know, as happy as I'm going to be with them. I certainly wouldn't call them again. And that's, he said, I want to make sure you'll come back to us. I would never go back. Not after that. Because you don't say you're going to do one thing and then show up and not do it. You know, that's my bottom line. As I said to our real estate agent, we picked the moving date because the contractor said he needed 2 weeks. We added a whole extra week and change. We actually added 10 days. So, you know, if you count giving him a few extra days at the end, we added an extra week. Whatever it was, we gave him extra time. And that wasn't a number we picked. That's what we were told. As I've mentioned on, I'm sure, more than one episode, if you tell me something and I believe that to be true, and you're going to say you're going to get something done at a certain time, I'm going to believe you unless you keep telling me stories. Then maybe I'm not going to believe you. But if you tell me, hey, I only need 2 weeks or maybe 2.5 weeks to get it done, so we then plan a move for 3.5 weeks after we settle, we expect it to be ready. And it really crushed us by not having this place ready. And then the Verizon guy, they messed up the order. So, you know, they wanted to charge us another $100 for another, you know, order processing for, they didn't fill out the order stuff right. So hopefully that's right. I won't know until I actually go through the bill. So those are the first two things. So, you know, we're now happy that we are in here, but we still have to go back and meet one more vendor. And that vendor was 1-800-GOT-JUNK, because we had a couple of items and some mattresses that we wanted to get rid of. We figured it would be just as easy to have them carry them out, you know, because we're exhausted from carrying everything and anything. You know, we figured if they can take them, let's get them to take the mattresses. We could always, you know, if they couldn't get them all, we could take them out to the dumpster at the condo. So we finish up with the movers. We have a couple of minutes because we get a call from 1-800-GOT-JUNK that they were running late. So we hang out at the house, and Liz is putting some stuff away, and we're doing some things. And then we head over to the condo and wait for them. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And they show up around 6 o'clock or 6:15. I don't remember. In that ballpark, maybe 6:30, whatever, in that ballpark. And these guys were so unbelievably strong. We had a lateral file I know Dan will remember it because I had a computer sitting on it when we worked in digital graphics together. Had a computer on it for a while. And it's probably, it's basically a filing. It was a two-drawer filing cabinet, but lateral, you know, so the whole drawer opens. It's not like the long way where you pull out the drawer and you know, you really have to reach to get to the back. This one, the whole thing opens, so it was easier to find, find a file, I guess, if you could see. So we bought that when we had built the video store, when we had moved from the one location to the other. And I guess we had that since 1993. So it wasn't new. So we were getting rid of it. There was always an issue with one of the drawers. This one guy, I don't know what it weighed, somewhere between 50 and 100 pounds. But again, it's not small. It's basically, 3 feet long by maybe 15 inches wide by maybe 3 feet high. This guy picked it up long ways so at each end, not from side to side where it was only 15 inches or whatever, from each end. So, 30 inches, 36 inches, picked it up by himself and then not just like kind of struggled to pick it up, picked it up and then walked a couple of steps and put it on a shopping cart and then wheeled it out. I mean, just unreal how strong they were. And these guys were great until they were taking a piece out, and Jacob was holding the door for him downstairs. And in the condo, there are ramps by each door. And the ramps are, handicap ramps. Well, the cart went off the side of this ramp, and what was on the cart ended up smashing into another resident's car. Now, fortunately, or unfortunately, it's somebody that I know and like, and I'm on the board with. They broke the passenger side rearview mirror, put some dents and dings in the car and scrapes and scratches and whatnot. So that was the trifecta for the day. Still waiting to see how that turns out because I got a call back a few days later from someone named Joseph from 1-800-GOT-JUNK who said he wanted to fix it. I sent him Joan's information, telephone, and some pictures Liz took that night. And I said, everything was great about that day except for the fact that they didn't mention this. And I didn't know about it right away because Jacob didn't say something to us until he mentioned something to Liz right near the end and then got in the shower so we couldn't ask him. So when we had gone out to pay him, to pay the guys, we went and looked at Joan's car and saw the dings in it. And we were disappointed. Again, these guys were great, except for that. Except, look, accidents happen, but just say something. Like I saw that I wondered if it was Joan's car. I called Joan up. I said, Joan, do you park on the, when you leave the building on the right side of the ramp? She said, yeah, that's my car. I said, okay, well, I'm glad it's your car, but I have some bad news. And I tell her that, here's what's happened. And she said, okay, I'm going to come down and take a look. But I'm disappointed the guys didn't say anything. I mean, we were going to give them a tip. And, Liz said, should we tip them? I said, well, at this point they were just finishing up and Joan was down and we did see that there was damage. And again, Jacob at this point had jumped in the shower. So we couldn't ask him what exactly happened. And I found out a day or two later what actually went down. And, you know, they didn't say anything. You know, they were very nice. They were strong. They got this stuff done. But, man, you just have to say something. You make a mistake, fess up to it, and move on. So that was our trifecta. And that night we were supposed to get, there's a place around here called Nifty Fifties. That was going to be our first meal in the new house because we haven't eaten out in a restaurant, you know, since March. We have gotten takeaway, and they do takeaway, which we ended up getting it the next night because it was just such a long day. And at this point it was like, I don't know, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. So we ended up just having, I don't remember what we had. I think we had Chick-fil-A. You know, something fast and not quite as good. And I mean, it was good, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't Nifty Fifties good. And it is good. So we had it the next night and it was good. You know, it was just a brutal day. And the whole week was just brutal with things not going right. And look, again, when you move, you expect things like that. But again, you rely on what somebody says to you that, you know, Jacob wanted to be in his room. So like I said, the first night he slept at the condo. But, you know, that was terrible. Half his stuff was there. Half his stuff was, you know, at the house. And he wanted to be with us. He wanted to be in the house. So we ended up that night looking, because we knew he was upset by it. We looked and we found an air mattress. Well, for the next few nights, he slept on this air mattress because his room wasn't getting done. And I think he finally got it done. You know, the contractor said he'll be in there Monday night when I met with him on Friday. He'll be in there Monday night. We'll have him in there. Well, I think it was Wednesday night. And again, I didn't say he needs to be in there on a specific day. I didn't say, you know, we're going to move in this date. Will you be done? We based our move date on what we were told. And I know that there are circumstances that come up. I know that. And you always have to expect that. But, you know, he was the professional. I'm just the dumb homeowner. You tell me that, I'm going to take that as gospel. And I'm going to say, okay, well, if you can do it then, that's fine. And I told him, and he knew that we had, you know, believe you can. So I had to be set up in the office. And that barely got done. But fortunately, I was in here. And again, it's not 100% done. And it'll probably be a while until we finish the flooring. Because right now, it's just, like I said, it's some sort of tile on a cement floor. And it's, you know, it's not in great shape to begin with. And it's got, you know, spackle drips on it. So it's got to be cleaned. And, you know, we've already cleaned it once, but we've got to go over it again. And so I'm thinking at some point we're going to get some sort of carpeting or laminate or something. I just know that we can't pull up the tiles that are here because they're the really old tiles that have asbestos in them, so we're not going to do that. We're a little hesitant to put down carpeting because we're afraid, you know, you get a bad flood rain-wise and, you know, the carpeting's ruined, or the hot water heater goes and, you know, you've got 40 gallons all over there, or 60 gallons, whatever size the water heater is. So we'll see. But if it sounds a little echoey, that's why. The only fabric that's in here besides the clothes I'm wearing is the sheet that's covering the couch and the couch. So hopefully it sounds okay. I know I have a bit of a raspy voice today because, like I said, I've got something going on. Not sure what it is. I had my temperature taken today when I did the dry run at the hospital for tomorrow's appointment. My temperature was good, so I kind of think it's allergies or the dust from here or a combination. You know, but it could be something else. Could be COVID. We'll see. I don't think it is, though. But I'm not a doctor, nor have I ever played one on TV. So that is our moving day disaster. And I have to tell you, as I am talking, and I'm wondering how I'm going to do this in the future, I have been pacing back and forth. I don't know that you could hear that, but I've been pacing back and forth from one end of my desk to the other. Now, I use the Sennheiser headset, which is, you know, got a cord to it. So I'm walking back and forth. In fact, one time the mouse started to fall off the desk. I don't know if you heard that. But I'm walking back and forth, and it's so comfortable and nice to be able to do that because I always like to move around. I hate to just stand in a position. So I don't know how it would be if I ever and I do want to start it. When I do YouTube, how am I going to stand still? I can't stand still. So I've been pacing back and forth and walking around. You know, there's probably some probably something going on there. Not sure what it is. But I do appreciate you listening to the Phillies World Champs episode. That is episode 96 of the I Can't See You podcast. For those of you who bought tickets to Believe You Can, I really appreciate that. And that was so kind of you to support the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Again, a great success. And thanks for your support with that. And thanks for listening. And remember, if you have to buy something at Amazon, icantseeyou.com/Amazon. I Can't See You sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only seven letters. icantcu.com/Amazon. That is an affiliate link. So anything that you purchase, qualifying orders, make us a little money. And I do appreciate that. So again, thanks for listening to episode 96 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.